Good evening and welcome to our Sunday evening service, where we are continuing our series on creation, having made it to day five, where God created the birds, the seas and the animals. And I was reminded of Psalm 84, when it said, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the loving God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." We are here this evening to praise God. I'm Vicky, I'm one of the ministers here, and Ian will be sharing in our service this evening. But as I was reminded of the birds and the seas and the animals, and having just been picked up that sense within the psalm, I was reminded that where it says in the New Testament about that God knowing every bit about the sand in this, the grains of sand or the hair on our head, and he knows about when the birds are fluttering, and he knows everything about us. Our God, our awesome God, the God who created everything, knows us intimately, knows us personally, cares about how we are feeling. And we get that sense here in the psalm that we are loved by God. But if we come to him, if we find refuge in him, in his dwelling place, then we are indeed able to know that we are safe in his arms. We can bless his name because he loves us. So what better reason than to sing our first song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, 10,000 reasons and forevermore." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for that reminder from the psalm and from the song that we have so much to be grateful to you for. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the place we need to come to, not only at times when things are difficult, but also at times when we just want to come and give our thanks and our praise to you. Lord, we thank you that you are our refuge and our shelter, our hope and our salvation. We thank you that you are all things, and yet, as a God who created the heavens and the earth, you know us intimately and personally. And for that, I give you our thanks and praise. Father God, in all that we do tonight, may it be pleasing to you. May we, as we celebrate and sing and pray and study your word, be reminded of all that you have done for us. And so indeed, we can turn to you and give you our heartfelt response, our heartfelt praise of love and adoration. Lord, thank you for all that you have done. Amen. A few verses from Psalm 65 again picks up that sense. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Saviour. The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the furthest seas, who form the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. A few weeks ago, Ian and I were walking along by the sea, and it was one of those days when it was really crashing in. It was high tide and there was a wind, and you really got a sense of the power of the waves. God's power is immensely more than that. And yet his love for us, tempered with his power, means that he only wants ever the best for us. We may look at our life and wonder, with all the uncertainty and the anxiety and the turmoil and the emotions we may be feeling, how can we keep going? But we can keep going because God is with us every step of the way. God will not fail us. God can always be trusted. Our next song is a new song, and it starts off with these words: I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. It goes on to remind us that even in what looks like dead places, there is always hope. When we see the leaves falling off the trees in autumn, we are kind of beset, aren't we, sometimes by that sense of, oh, winter's coming. But with winter, there is always spring to follow. And as we sing our next song, let us be reminded that in all things, God is always there. A song I suspect we will sing more than once in the weeks and months to come. That sense of hope. And we all need hope, don't we? And we can gain our hope by always turning back to God. Not looking at ourselves and what we can't achieve, but looking at God and seeing how great he is. And that is the sense that we pick up in our next song. How great. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you not as people of fear, but because we are a people of courage, because you are with us day by day. We thank you that we come before you knowing that in our weakness you are strong, knowing that what we are burdened down by, you always care about, and it is to you that we can give it. Father God, help us to trust you. Help us to trust you more. Help us to know that you are always with us and nothing can separate us from your love. And as we think about ourselves, we recognize that there are many in our own families and our own friends, as well as those that are named on the notice sheet, who needs a touch from you this day. Father God, in the silence, we name them before you now. Lord, too, for all those who are affected by coronavirus through illness or isolation or anxiety, we pray that each and every person will know that you are with them. You'll give them the strength and the peace that they need. You'll give them the support that they need when things seem difficult. And we pray too for our hospital staff and our emergency services and all those who are seeking to find a cure for this COVID. Father God, across our world, people are losing loved ones. Across our world, there is uncertainty and fear, and yet we know that, Father God, you are the God of hope and the God of love. May those who really need a touch from you this day, whether they're in hospital or they're a member of staff, whether they are someone who has lost a loved one, may they know you ever near them at this time. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you care about the world in which we live. We thank you that in a world that is sometimes fraught by governments arguing with others, by situations that seem out of our control, that nothing is out of your control. Father God, as the Prince of Peace, we pray that you will bring peace into tense and fraught situations. For you, as the God of heaven and of earth, you will come in to those places and situations where authorities feel that they have the right, but Lord, you are greater than them. Lord, as people's decisions being made in governments are impacting on the person on the street, and Lord, they are suffering, be with them, we pray. Be with the charity workers and the people who are seeking to do intervention, to bring courage and hope into a dark and dismal world. Father God, you are a God of compassion and a God of mercy. hear our prayers, we pray. And Father, for those who are away from the home, perhaps because they're at university or because they're in a care home or in a setting that is not the one that they would choose, Father God, may your love unite them, your Holy Spirit protect them, and the shield of your love and your protection give them the courage they need to face each day. We pray, Lord, for a blessing on our local community, that all neighbourhoods will know that there are people that they can trust and who wish to befriend them. And may we be willing to stand in that gap. May we be willing to be your hands and your feet at all times and in all places. And Father, as we come before you in our weakness, we thank you that you make us strong. We thank you that you came to this earth and you walked these days with us, and you know what it is to be human and to have that whole myriad of emotions and frailties and strengths that we each battle with day by day. We thank you that you are an understanding and loving God, and that you taught your disciples to say the words that we will say now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'm sure you feel that I say this every time I do the notices, but I say it once again. Hopefully you are aware of all that there is going on this week. We continue with our services on a Wednesday lunchtime, and we ask you to book in for those, as well as for the Sunday morning services. Sunday evening service will continue online. We also continue to have our prayer meeting each week by Zoom on a Tuesday evening, and on Wednesday we have our Wednesdays at RBC, where we're drawing to the end of our character course. And I know that for many it's been a real challenge, but a lot of good conversations have taken place. And if you still want to just come and see what it's like for a week, do come and join us on Wednesday evenings. The details are all in the notice sheet. Hannah's back, and she continues with all the fantastic stuff that she continues to do with our youngsters. And the program is all to be found within your notice sheet. And we continue to say thank you. Thank you for all those who continue to give to the food bank on a regular basis and through our weekly or monthly offering, whether you're doing it physically in the building or it's via the bank or you're doing it with checks. However you are giving, we are so grateful to all that you give. Let us pray. Father God, as we give to you in a variety of ways, maybe through our time or our finances or through the gifts that we bring to the food bank, whether it's giving of our time as we hold one another up in prayer or as we seek to make a difference in someone's life, Lord, we pray that all that we offer to you, you will be able to use it and use it mightily. Lord, what we give, you can make into an abundance of blessing. And Lord, we pray that in all that we do, you will just abundantly bless others through what we can give to you. Thank you. Amen. Now for a reminder about our Christmas challenges. Hello. We recognise that Christmas and Advent's not going to quite be in the way that we have been used to over the last few years. So we're this year trying to do something really creative, and we need your help. The first way we need your help is to produce 4 Advent challenges. Now, you'll know that if you're involved with the challenges that we did at the beginning of lockdown for the first 3 or 4 months, you all had the opportunity to send in messages or pictures or photographs working to a particular theme. And so, yes, we know it's not yet Advent. It's not yet December, but we are wanting to work in advance to try and balance the workload that goes on. And so if you can send in photographs only at this time to work towards 4 different themes. One theme will be shown over each Advent Sunday. The themes are love, joy, peace and hope. So if you can think of any photograph that you've taken or that you know fits within that theme, and it has to be a photograph that you've not taken from the internet, it's a photograph that you know that you've taken or that you have managed to obtain, where it's maybe from a friend that kind of they've taken a photograph and it will work to that theme, to the themes of love, joy, hope and peace. Please send them through. You can start sending them through to the normal contact details that you've sent them through before and that are hopefully going to show on screen either immediately or in a short while. And we look forward to seeing what photos and pictures you can come up with that fit into those 4 themes. Now, another option that we have is we recognise that sometimes we like to go out and about. It's one of the things that we know is really good for us. And so we're wanting to set up a Christmas treasure trail. And we're looking particularly for 10 to 15 people who are willing to put a picture, an A4 picture, in their window that people can see from the street. And we're ideally looking for people who live between kind of the church and the traffic lights up past Parkside on Main Road, stretching across to where kind of Gideon Park Station is on Balgors Lane and running down maybe to Carlton Road and then back along to this area. So this kind of area around the church. And we're looking for you to be able to, 10 to 15 people of you being able to put up a picture that will spell out a Christmas message that people can go around either in families or in support bubbles or as individuals, no matter whatever age you are. You can do it all in one go or you can do it over the course of 2 or 3 days. And there'll be a sheet that will be produced and you can collect up not only the letters to form a Christmas message, but also you need to do some counting along the way as you collect different images together. And so that's going to be over a fortnight period in December. And if you're able to help by putting one of those pictures in your window on a street side so it can be seen clearly from the street, please do let us know using the contact details. And last of all, we are really trying to do something that other people who pass the church can see from outside. And we're looking to put together for what we've termed scarecrow costume figures of the Nativity. Now, there's a few pictures that hopefully that will give you some idea as to what they could look like. And we need these figures to be, if it's an adult figure, to be about 180 centimetres tall or 6 foot in old money. If you potentially need to use maybe some of the church costumes for the Christmas, then please do let us know. But obviously we're looking for a Mary and a Joseph and some angels and some shepherds. And we're hoping over the course of the Advent period to have this displayed at the front of the church so that it can be seen from the bus stops and from people travelling past and walking by the front of the church, so that we can visually say to all those who pass by what Christmas means to us. So several different ways that you can get involved. Hopefully early in the week or in maybe it's already been out and we've circulated it, there are more details available. So keep an eye open, send in your photos, send them in as soon as possible. If you can help with putting a picture in your home, please let us know. And also, if you are able to join in with the what we've called the Scarecrow Nativity, please register an interest. And we're going to potentially find someone who might be able to work with you to give you some advice, and there'll be some instructions. And hopefully, we look forward to seeing what happens. We've said it already, or I've said it already this evening, as I've talked about how great is our God, how much he cares for us. And our next song reminds us of God's faithfulness as we sing that lovely hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Good evening. We continue our journey through the days of creation, and we're here to look at day five. And if you look at the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says this. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, let the birds fly over the earth, across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems, and that moves about in it, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. As we go through this story of the creation of the world, as the scriptures outline it, we keep coming back to that phrase, and God said. The fact that God is the author and the creator, the one who put all this together. And as we come to this passage about the fish and the birds, the sense of God creating, the first thing I want to suggest and say here is there are no accidents here. This is not a random explosion of things going on, but a creator's choreographed design. It was not an accident. It was choreographed. It was designed, and everything in its place according to what it needs to survive. God carefully created. As we watch the programs and read the information on the effect of global warming at the moment, we see how often the challenge is that different creatures are dying out because of their environment that is being destroyed. The environment that God made, the environment that God put together, and God made everything in its place and choreographed it really carefully. There are no accidents here. God is a God of a blueprint, a God who has an imagination beyond our imagination. Ephesians chapter 3 talks that God can do immeasurably more than all we can imagine. And in creation, we see that very verse coming to fulfillment. God doing immeasurably more than all we can imagine. Can you imagine creating the diversity of creation out of your mind? I can't. Yet God did. He created birds that were so unique and special and different. God, he created fish that were great and were amazing and had character and lived in certain environments, in certain seas. We are seeing, as we look at creation, the incredible diversity and creative power of a living God, who put this together in love, and no accidents here. We're still discovering, very slowly, of the incredible greatness of creation. Even today, after all this time following creation, we're still discovering new species we'd never discovered before, new plants we'd never found before. And as the botanists and those naturists, is it naturists or naturists? I never get that one right, but whichever. They are discovering all kinds of unique things in their studies. Creation wasn't an accident. It was the hand of a choreographed creator putting things together. The second thing I want to notice is the order of creation. If you are setting out to do an extension on your house or building a new house or maybe redesigning your garden and having that, you have a process to go through. In any new project, order is vital. You just need to look at the programs like Grand Designs and how everything has to be planned and put into place in the right order. And these programs love it when something goes wrong and doesn't arrive on time and holds up the whole project because the glass is being made somewhere else and it's not yet available. Or that they haven't planned appropriately or whatever. In creation, order was vital. From the first day and the creation of land and sky and making the environment able to sustain life, God created each thing in order. It's only as we get to day five that the world could sustain fish and birds. Therefore, this is the right day to do it. And God has put everything in order as it is needed. Even today, as scientists and those who are following and looking at fossils discover, the order of the fossils being found give credence to the order of creation. The fish are found deeper than the birds are found deeper than the animals are found deeper than humankind. God created creation in an ordered way. This is not chaos. And as we saw in the first point that I made, there was no accident. In the same way, it is ordered and put into place in a way that can sustain life. But as it was no accident and it was ordered, the third thing I want to say is the variety of creation. Creation is such a diverse variety, from sea monsters to tiny organisms. Each variety with its own needs for survival, so wonderfully provided for. And isn't it amazing as we learn more and more about different animals, how the things that they need was provided for by God. The birds that will feed off the fish that will feed off other fish, and then the plants that they were also feeding off in the sea. Each was given, and the variety was amazing. And the psalmist constantly comes back to the theme of creation and its variety as a reason to praise and worship God. Even today, we will be marveled as we go to a zoo or a safari park to see of the beauty of the creation and to see of its diversity, that we can just see God, the Creator, through them. But just as there's variety, there's a harmony. Take humankind out of creation. Creation works. It complements each other. It's there for each other. And the harmony of God putting everything in place helps the rest of creation to work. And as we look at creation, we need to remind ourselves of the rhythms of life that were put into place from the very first time. The seasons, the warmth, in certain parts for the animals and the birds that live there, to the chill of the poles where the polar bears and penguins live. Each of those things have been put into place, and the animals that God has created, designed for their purposes, and everything they needed to sustain their life is also provided there at that time. God put creation together in harmony. But then we also see that God cares for his creation. God cares for his creation. In the New Testament, in those verses that we all struggle with, the verses that do not worry, Jesus uses this as an illustration in Matthew 6, verse 26. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." The sense that even the birds, the thousands and millions of birds, are cared for by our heavenly Father. God cares for his creation to such a level that he has put everything in its place, and he cares for it. And Jesus uses this to say, so don't worry. If you trust God, everything's in place. If you trust God, you too will be cared for. Therefore, you do not need to worry, because look, what God has done in creation, he is doing for you. What God has done in putting everything together in an order, with a sustaining, in harmony, God will do for you if you trust him and put your faith in him. Because he's doing things beyond our imagination. And then, as we read down this passage from Genesis 1, we then see God does something. After he's created it, he blesses it. What's that mean? God gives his affirmation and his blessing. He gives life to it and empowers those things he has created to go on and live to the fullness and live in harmony and joy. As we look at the reading again, it says this: God blesses them and says, "Be fruitful, increase in numbers, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth." God's blessing is that they may will reproduce, they may will multiply, they may live. And live well. In God's created order, creation thrives. In our fallen, broken world, creation struggles. God's blessed creation to thrive. In many ways, we have cursed creation to struggle. Through our carelessness, through the environmental decisions we make, God's creation is struggling. And so as God blesses creation, he also later on, and we'll see this in a few weeks' time, blesses us and blesses creation to us. He gives us the authority over creation. And creation is such an inspiration for humankind today. The blessing of God's creation to us. The psalmist's writing and the visions of today of what creation is doing. And for the millennia that's passed, is the wonders of art and our travels that has seen the beauty of God's creation that God has given to us. But we have responsibility. In Genesis 1 and verse 28, it says this: God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea and the birds of the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, every tree that has fruit with it and with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath in it, I give every green plant for food. And so it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was good. God gave us responsibility to rule over, but responsibility to care for. There is that challenge in our lives of the balance between rule and care. Ruling, I'm in charge, I have dominion over, I can cause and affect everything. But care is I want it to thrive. We see this challenge in this problem in the whole of world today, don't we? Those who want to rule and those who want to care. And often rule is I want to have control. I want to make sure that everything keeps in its place. I don't want anything to cause me a problem. But care is I want everything to thrive and succeed. I want everybody to actually reach their full potential. And God, in giving us the creation and giving us dominion over it, is not that we have power to destroy and hurt and offend, but we have responsibility to care and enable that creation to reach its full potential. Those of you who enjoy your garden, and many have this year, know how it is with great care you can get a plant to thrive. Making sure it's in the right environment, has the right amount of water, has all kinds of nutritions that need to go in the soil to enable that plant to thrive and reach its full potential. And you know when it's reached its full potential, it flowers amazingly, it grows amazingly, it looks amazing. And if you're growing vegetables, they taste amazing. You have power over those plants to destroy them. You can cut them down. You can prune them too hard. You can destroy so easily. And in God's creation, we as human beings have that same power. Vicky often complains to me when I'm gardening. You see, gardening is not something I enjoy. It's not something I'm good at. It's not something that really I want to do. It's just a necessary evil to do. So when I go to prune something, I want to make sure it's done for the next year. I don't want it to come back later in the year to have to reprune it. But I tend to prune too hard and cause too much stress to the plant that sometimes, sadly, they will die. But they never really reach their full potential. And as I was preparing this sermon, I have seen afresh the challenges of us who have power over creation to care and nurture that creation. To not take so much from the ground that the ground cannot thrive. To not take so much from the wildlife that the wildlife cannot thrive. But God gave us responsibility to care and allow his creation to reach its full potential. That was what God gave us. And that's what we need to allow to happen. And so, on the fifth day, God continued his amazing work of creation. No accidents here, but a choreographed, beautiful design in order. Design that it will thrive from day one in variety of creational patterns with the design of animals and birds that were unique and amazing but lived together in harmony. And he cared for that creation. He cared to make sure it was provided for, it had the food. And then God blessed it and said, reproduce and multiply. And that was God's gift to us, humankind, to care for. What will we do to support that gift that God has given us, his creation? Let us pray. And so, Lord, we do thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you for the beauty of your creation, the diversity and the uniqueness of so much of it. We thank you for the variety of fish and the variety of birds. We thank you, Lord, that you put everything in order. Your creation is amazing and beautiful, and we worship you for it. Lord, may we today remind ourselves and be reminded by you that, Lord, you gave us responsibility. Yes, we have power to destroy, but we have power to care. And Lord, may we come as people who are stewards of your creation and truly care for all that you have made. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we sing that great hymn that reminds us of creation. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. And so I close with those words that I mentioned in the sermon from Ephesians chapter 3. And I read just a few more verses. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, says this: I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We'll have a piece of music as the service concludes. God bless you.